Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
David Coleman, good morning.
Good morning, Ryan.
It's good to see you. You join us live in the Chip Van.
I know. What a joy this is, getting to come up to Westport.
Well, you see, normally we would have said, you know, you can go into the Dublin studio or the Limerick studio, we'll do it from there. But this time we said, look, that guy needs a break. You know, he's got a busy family, he's always working. And
so kind.
We thought we'd take you with us and maybe buy a pint.
It's unusual for you to be kind to me, actually.
Well, it is unusual, but I just thought, A, it's kind of summer. B, I don't have the pressure of the Late Late Show, so I'm feeling more generous. I don't feel as antsy. And I thought also, you looked so sad the last time. You looked like a man who needed a pint and a good conversation. So we had that last night.
We did indeed.
And it was sub-psychiatric, but it was worth doing.
It was very worth doing, yeah.
Just to see if what really lies beneath that hard, cold exterior. And I'm getting worse now.
Now. Do you actually want me to tell the listeners?
No, don't. Say nothing. Now, our friend Monica is here today. Hi, Monica. And you're with your gorgeous little dote. And we're going to give Monica a two-night stay for two people in the Diamond Coast Hotel. Yeah, no, she didn't expect it. Yay! And you'll be taken in the wildness of the Wild Atlantic Way with the team from Enniscrone Surf School. You can try your hand at surfing or kayaking or paddleboarding. Yep. And it's all thanks to Discover Ireland, for supported by Forge Ireland. More info, wildatlanticway.com, or follow hashtag wildatlanticway. So that's yours, Monica. Do you want to give that jack to Monica and sort her right there? So she goes home happy. 51552. We've got a daily prize, by the way, to give away to one lucky listener. Sorry, David, a little business.
You're all right. It's such a joy looking at Monica's reaction.
Yeah, she's happy. Yeah, she's kind of surprised, but happy. Yes, yeah, good. Daily prize for one of our lucky listeners this morning. So give us this day our daily prize, as we like to call it. Ah, come on. Give us this day our daily prize, which is what? If you fancy a Wild Atlantic Way breakaway in the Radisson Blue Hotel and span Ross's Point in Sligo.
That sounds nice.
Which sounds like a nice plan. Exactly. Listen up, because this amazing prize includes two nights. Wonderful. A scrumptious breakfast every morning of your stay and a delicious evening meal in the Classy Bawn restaurant on the grounds of the hotel. And during your stay, you'll get to unwind and relax at the Thermos. Yeah, you get to relax in a flask. Now, the thermal suite in Sullis Spa after a half day trek up Benbulbin Mountain with Northwest Adventure Tours. And if this sounds like something you feel you deserve this summer, just text us 51552 with the Irish holiday stories that you have. The disasters, the fun, the games, the fiascos.
The cowering behind the walls.
Yeah.
As the sand blows into your sandwiches.
Yes, those sort of trips, exactly. Is there something you want to talk about? Did you have like traumatic
No, but it's
childhood?
Funny, my wife always talks about how they ended up cowering between the car and the wall. Always.
The sand whirling around.
Having their picnic as the rain lashed across.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We are the only country in the world who knows what a ham and sand sandwich tastes like. Yeah. You know, we're the only country in the world that actually feels crunch on bread because of the sand in it. What else are we trying to suffering through? Anyway, if you want to win this prize, just text us your Irish holiday stories. The more horrific, the better. It's all thanks to Discover Ireland, supported by Forge Ireland. Info on wildatlanticway.com or follow hashtag wildatlanticway. So, back to serious business. Obviously, David Coleman.
They did use the word scrumptious in the middle of that. That's an unusual word. You don't hear scrumptious.
You don't, but it's a wonderful word, and it's one that should be used more often.
Scrumptious breakfast.
It can describe anything. You could do many scrumptious things, David.
It can
bring you that sort of reaction.
Anyway,
down to business.
Do the work.
Yes, you're obviously a psychologist who talks about families and families and summer kind of lurking around the corner for most families today. Stranger danger, that's a good one to talk about, because is a time when we like to give kids a little bit more freedom than usual, and yet our nerves are gone as well.
I know.
So this is a comment that came in to say, could you ask David about educating children about strangers and child safety? I have a four-year-old who's very friendly and outgoing and would talk to anyone. At the moment, she just wanders off if we're out anywhere and she won't hold her hands. And I'm very nervous going out in case she's taken, obviously. Are there any books I could get to illustrate danger stranger?
No, not really. And to be honest, at age four, you're better off just using your vigilance. I mean, it's highly unlikely that a four-year-old is ever going to be somewhere that you're not. So you actually are better off just clinging onto her hand and actually keeping her with you, because, you know, I suppose what children normally do in terms of feeling comfortable is they look to see who are their parents hanging out with, and they look to see how their parents are reacting and responding to those people. So a four-year-old is looking at your reaction to another stranger that you might meet. So somebody who, you know, a long forgotten friend perhaps that you might meet, or somebody that they don't know. And they look at your reaction. And if you seem, you know, smiling and happy, then they'll also relax in the company of that person. And so that's typically the way that we allow children to make judgments about, you know, people that they meet. I'd be slow to start talking about stranger danger, because you don't want to frighten children either. But what you do want to do with a four-year-old is to talk to them about their own safety if they do get separated. And so what you're always talking about is somebody with a name badge is always the best way. So if you're in the supermarket, so it's one of the, you know, the whoever they are, either somebody stacking the aisles or somebody at the reception or at the checkouts. So anybody with a name badge, that they're the people to talk to who'll help them find you. And so you teach a four-year-old as well your mobile phone number. Really important that they know your mobile phone number so they can give it to somebody if they get separated from you. So that's how I'd approach that, rather than talking to them about, oh, you know, people do nasty things and you have to be careful of people. I'd just talk about, if you get lost, this is what you do. You learn this number and you go find somebody with a name badge and get them to ring me.
Okay, yeah, Wise, that's a good one. That the name tag thing is a clever thing.
Yeah,
that
it's
could
just
be
easy,
a hotel
because
staff or
exactly wherever you are, there's always somebody in, you know, with some responsibility, and they're typically wearing
their badge. Can I put a question to David Coleman? My little boy is almost 4 years old. He's been attending hospital for routine visits, including blood tests and skin prick tests, with regard to his allergies. We have an appointment coming up on Thursday. He gets very upset and distressed every time the appointment comes around, and my heart is broken at the thought of it. And I'd really appreciate if you could give me any advice on how to talk to him about it and prepare him without causing any unnecessary distress.
That's an awkward one. I mean, you know, children who have to get regular blood tests, I mean, needles can become a huge issue for children. And oftentimes, you know, I mean, depending on the setting, but either GP surgeries or in hospitals particularly, you know, people are just busy. And so the time that you need often to acclimatize the children, let them settle into the environment and let them get used to it before you start putting needles into them, often isn't there. And so sometimes children end up, you know, with a needle going into their arm just before they're ready. And so that can be very distressing for them. So I would just, you know, there's very little you can do. If it's a regular hospital appointment, you're just going to be sitting in the queue. You've got to take your turn. Then the time will come and you'll go in and they'll take the blood. So it's really just about doing the empathy stuff with that child and saying, yeah, I know it's kind of hard, isn't it? I don't think you really like these needles, but it's all the better because you'll feel better afterwards. And so it's about just letting them know, because you can't change it. They have to have the needle for the blood test, so there's no way around. You know, you can't get past this issue that they're going to have to get stuck with.
Do you have a thoughts on the FIFA option? Just bribe the child and say, listen, here's a packet of wagon wheels. Yeah. Get in there.
I guess you're going to say 5 million, because that's quite a lot.
5 million 10p bags. Okay, so how are you on the bribing factor?
Well, you see, bribing is about a reward for something that you do well, typically. So you say, you know, look, if you do this, then you'll get this. But, I mean, you don't want to reward a child necessarily for, you know, having a needle stuck into them. What you could do is say that, look, we'll do something nice afterwards. And so that might be about a bit of special time with you. So maybe even going for, I mean, he's only four, so might be going for an ice cream, or might be doing something absolutely afterwards, and that he knows that there's a treat at the end, assuming that he's gone through the whole process. So there's nothing wrong with that at all. But again, it's the most thing is just the fact that you can't actually prevent him having to get this blood test. So you have to just be just really sympathetic and empathetic and say, I know it's awful. Listen, I don't think you really like it. And then again, talk to the nurses or whoever's doing the actual blood test to make sure that they don't do it against his will, you know, that they actually give him the time to get ready.
Yes, so there's a lady taking my picture there, over your shoulder, which is kind of slightly distracting. But she's a very nice lady, but that's where I was kind of looking, going, what? I had to smile at her.
It's all that for perspective.
Yes, I see what you mean. Okay, that all makes perfect sense. Do you know what is a great thing to do if you have more than one child is the one-on-one with the child. It's say, right, let's go out and have an afternoon together.
Oh, yeah, such a joy. Love doing that. Yeah, yeah. Actually, myself and my 10-year-old son are going for a lad's weekend away next weekend.
Great. Where are you going? Ahead to?
We're actually, believe it or not, going up to Dublin.
Are you?
Yeah, but we're going out to climb. We're going to do a bit of rock climbing.
Jeez, that looks terrifying.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Do you?
I really love it. And actually, the rock climbing itself can be a bit tricky, but the abseiling back down is great.
Is
that one where you're kind of bouncing and swinging off the rope? And
oh, no, I could think of nothing worse. But I mean, I can understand that some people get a great kick.
You're going to be mad busy for the whole week. You're doing all sorts of adventure. I don't know if you know, actually, how many adventurous things you're about to be doing.
I saw somebody preparing some sort of potion. So I think they're going to knock me out for some of it and just throw me down a hill. I'm absorbing after this, as you know.
Yeah.
And then what I'm really looking forward to is the fishing
steering tonight. Deep sea fishing, which I've never done. I'm really excited
about
that.
You're going coast steering as well?
No, they're going coast steering.
No, you really should. It is the best fun. It is the best fun. It's all about you climbing across the rocks and then you jump into
I won't be doing it.
I don't know.
I won't do it.
You're just going on the Atlantic way, is it? You just want the no wildness. Wildness need not apply.
David, there are all sorts of wildness that you can bring into your life. And certainly coast steering is not one of the options I'm going to
What other treats have you got in store for us?
For the wildness.
For your what? Yeah.
Well, I don't know, really. It's like a...
Just one day at a time. They're only telling you
one day at a time, sweet Jesus. Let's get this sorted out. But the Achill Beach yesterday was pretty spectacular.
Oh, that's stunning. I saw some of the pictures.
Are you coming zorbing with us?
I am not going zorbing.
You're going back to
Killaloo? I am going home because I've got responsibilities.
Ah, sure. What are they?
There you are. Well,
we'll take another question then.
Do. Work away.
David, I'm not sure.
I should work.
Yeah, as we're here. But mind you, the sun is out. It's June. We're in Westport.
I can have a nice little coffee before I go, though. That's
Yes. Maybe that.
Sitting in the sun.
A late breakfast. I'm not sure if you can help, but with older children, as many of the queries seem to be in relation to young children. I'm emailing in relation to my 27-year-old son. He's living at home and is not working or signing on for the unemployment. He is not a problem unless you confront him and ask him to go out and look for a job. Then the problem starts and he can throw out any abuse at you, saying that I'm the problem and I'm not normal. And it's difficult as I work full-time working always and find it hard to see him in bed day after day, then gets up and reads and sits in the sun and is always on his laptop. And as I say, no problem is caused unless you confront him about a job, and then he heads into his room and the vicious circle goes on again. It's going on for 2 years. And he dropped out of college, has no contact with any friends. His sister is married and a few years older, but no one is giving me help on this. What can I do?
It is difficult because he sounds like he's depressed, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
And he's certainly getting into that whole cycle of isolating himself and locking himself away from the real world. So he's, you know, on his laptop, he's reading, he's not really going out, you know, lost contact with his friends. So it actually would be really, really good for him if she could persuade him to actually go talk to somebody, so find a counsellor, find a therapist for him. But then actually, ultimately, they're going to have a bit of tough love, and they're actually possibly going to have to just turf him out in his ear. Like, he's 27.
Yeah.
And if he's not drawing any kind of social welfare, I don't know if he's entitled to it, perhaps because he's living at home still, I don't know. But he has to become more responsible for himself. And at the moment, it sounds like his parents are still taking all the responsibility for him. And as a consequence, then, he hasn't even grown up because he's still treating them as if he was a 15-year-old or a 14-year-old as opposed to a 27-year-old. So that dynamic is not good. You know, if as a parent, you're still there trying to persuade your 27-year-old to get up out of bed, that it's time to get up out of bed, come on, you know, did you put in the applications? You know, I brought you home the application. And so it's just, I think, probably time, you know, offer him some help for himself, to try and get him, you know, maybe even some kind of career-focused coaching or something like that. Maybe even just to point him in a direction that might give him some spark, some energy to go search it out. And if that doesn't work, then just say, look, there's a time limit on this. You know, if you haven't got yourself sorted out by June, well, we're in June now, so by Christmas perhaps, you know, bye-bye in the new year. And just let him go.
Yeah, and you might have to just put up with the explosion that you'll hear.
Well, you know, the explosion is going to be short term because ultimately he's 27. He needs to get a life. Genuinely, actually, get a life.
That's the best advice I've ever heard. David Coleman suggesting you sit him down and say, yeah, you need to get a life. That's brilliant.
It's how you say it.
It's how you say it. But really, you're saying the same thing, aren't you?
Ultimately, like, I mean,
you're putting lipstick on a pig there.
It's kind of mad that he's just at home. You know, you feel like going up and going, what are you doing?
I think she should get you to do it. I want to put a camera on you going into the sun saying, what? Like, what's
a whole TV show on that, isn't there? I'd say there's a whole host of kids who are now adults.
Kiddles. Is that what they call
them? Kiddles. Is that what they call them when they stay at home?
There's a series in that.
There you are now.
Cut the profits 50-50. Go for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, David, we'll let you go for now. And thanks for being a good sport and coming down to join us on the Chip Van.
It was a really nice trip.